You're the survivor's friend, and you spend a good half your time living in the Emperor's own palace. Luthadel's a long way from here. Not so far that news doesn't travel, Dern said. A Tin-Eye comes to town spying about, flaunting seemingly endless funds. It wasn't really that hard to figure out who you were. Besides, there's your eyes.
What about them? Spook asked.
The ugly man shrugged. Everyone knows that strange things happen around the survivor's crew. Spook wasn't certain what to make of that. He walked forward, looking over the cards on the table. He picked one up, feeling its paper. His heightened senses let him feel the bumps on the back.
Marked carts? He asked.
Of course, Dern said. Practice game, to see if my men could read the patterns right.
Spook tossed the card onto the table.
You still haven't told me why you've been spreading rumors about me.
No offense, kid, Dern said. But, well, you're supposed to be dead.
If you believed that, then why bother talking about me?
Why do you think, Dern said. The people love the survivor and anything related to him. That's why Quellian uses his name so often. But if I could show that Quellian killed one of Kelsier's own crew, well, there are a lot of people in this city who wouldn't like that.
So you're just trying to help, Spook said flatly, out of the goodness of your heart.
You're not the only one who thinks that Quellian is killing this city. If you're really of the survivor's crew, you'll know that sometimes people fight.
I find it difficult to think of you as an altruist, Dern. You're a thief.
So are you.
We didn't know what we were getting into, Spook said. Kelsier promised us riches. How do you gain from all this?
Dern snorted.
A citizen is very bad for business. Venture red wine being sold for a fraction of a clip? Our smuggling has been choked to a trickle because everyone fears buying our goods. Things were never this bad under the Lord Ruler.
He leaned in.
If your friends staying in the old ministry building think they can do something about that lunatic running this city, then tell them they'll have my support. There isn't a large underground left in this city, but Quellian will be surprised at the damage it can do if manipulated the right way.
Spook stood quietly for a moment.
There's a man milking for information in the tavern on Westbrook Lane. Send someone to contact him. He's a soother, the best one you'll ever meet. But he stands out a bit. Make your offer to him.
Dern nodded. Spook turned to go, then glanced back at Dern.
Don't mention my name to him, or what happened to me.
With that, he left through the hallway, passing the guards and the displaced crooks from the card game. Spook pulled off his blindfold as he stepped into the daylight-like brightness of the starlit night. He strolled through the harrows, trying to decide what he thought of the meeting. Dern hadn't revealed anything all that important. Yet Spook felt as if something were happening around him, something he hadn't planned on, something he couldn't quite decipher. He was becoming more comfortable with Kelsier's voice and with his pewter, but he was still worried that he wouldn't be able to live up to the position he'd fallen into.
If you don't get to Quellian soon, Kelsier said, he's going to find your friends. He's already preparing assassins.
He won't send them, Spook said quietly. Especially if he's heard Dern's rumors about me. Everyone knows that Sazed and Breeze were on your crew. Quellian won't take them out unless they prove to be such a threat that he has no other choice.
Quellian is an unstable man, Kelsier said. Don't wait too long. You don't want to find out how irrational he can be.
Spook fell silent. Then he heard footsteps approaching quickly. He felt the vibrations in the ground. He spun and loosened his cloak, reaching for his weapon.
You're not in danger, Kelsier said quietly.
Spook relaxed as someone rushed around the alley corner. It was one of the men from Dern's chips game. The man was puffing, his face flushed with exhaustion.
My lord, he said.
I'm no lord, Spook said. What happened? Is Dern in danger?
No, sir, the man said.
Spook raised an eyebrow.
I need your help, the man said between breaths. When we realized who you were already gone.
Help with what? Spook said tersely.
My sister, sir, the man said. She got taken by the citizen. Our father was a nobleman. Dern hid me, but Maylie, she got sold by the woman I'd left her with. Sir, she's only 7. He's going to burn her in a few days.
Spook frowned. What does he expect me to do? He opened his mouth to ask that very question, but then stopped. He wasn't the same man anymore. He wasn't limited as the old Spook would have been. He could do something. What Kelsier had done.
Can you gather 10 men? Spook asked. Friends of yours, willing to take part in some late-night work?
Sure, I guess. Does this have to do with saving Maylie?
No, Spook said. It has to do with your payment for saving Maylie. Get me those workers, and I'll do what I can to help your sister.
The man nodded eagerly.
Do it now, Spook said, pointing. We start tonight.
In hemology, the type of metal used in a spike is important, as is the positioning of that spike on the body. For instance, steel spikes take physical allomantic powers, the ability to burn pewter, tin, steel, or iron, and bestow them upon the person receiving the spike. Which of these 4 is granted, however, depends on where the spike is placed. Spikes made from other metals steal ferrochemical abilities. For example, all of the original Inquisitors were given a pewter spike, which, after first being pounded through the body of a ferrochemist, gave the Inquisitor the ability to store up healing power, though they couldn't do so as quickly as a real ferrochemist, as per the law of hemologic decay. This obviously is where the Inquisitors got their infamous ability to recover from wounds quickly, and was also why they needed to rest so much.
36.
You shouldn't have gone in, Set said flatly. Elland raised an eyebrow, riding his stallion through the center of his camp. Tyndall had taught him that it was good to be seen by one's people, especially in situations